You're listening to a special showcase episode of the Round Table Podcast. 20 minutes with Christoph Laputka. Hello, literary alchemists. I'm Dave Robison.
And I'm Brian Humphrey.
And you've tuned in to a special showcase episode of the Round Table Podcast, 20 Minutes With.
20 Minutes With is a segment in which Dave and I have the great honor to share the microphone with some truly awesome people, and today is pretty damn sweet.
Today is as huge as the Mariana Trench.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's right. Nice. How this is going down. Let me dear friends, let me lay down the intro for our guest host. Like Peter Parker, the Fantastic Four, and all good superheroes, our guest host was born and raised in New York City, where he embraced not only the frenetic energy of that mighty metropolis, but also the global perspective inherent to the world's melting pot. As he grew towards manhood and his ultimate destiny, he translated the metropolitan wonders and visions he saw into fantastic tales of science fiction adventure. The transformation of his life occurred almost a decade ago when the innovation of podcasting opened a whole new world of expression, an audio frontier waiting to be explored. With the allure of infinite possibility dazzling in his eyes, he embraced his inner geek, surrendering to fate and turning his hand to the crafting of his magnum opus, a tale set in a dark future of heroes and villains on an epic scale. The result was the Leviathan Chronicles. And we really gotta have a dun-dun-dun in there. 25 episodes so far, a sweeping sci-fi epic saga that plays like Tom Clancy meets Ridley Scott. Now, while it might technically be defined as a full cast production, full air quotes in play there, anyone who's actually loaded these episodes into their head quickly discovers that the term is inadequate to the transportive delight that this production offers. Now, our guest host also claims to be an aspiring travel writer, but no one really believes him because we all know he's just scouting locations for the next epic chase scene or mind-blowing revelation in the Leviathan Chronicles. There are also rumors of a comedic novel in the works called The Underwear Incident, describing some dubious shenanigans involving Wall Street. Oh, what a shock. But that's neither here nor there. We are here, ladies and gentlemen, with this man on the Skype line. So please welcome, if you will, Mr. Christoph Laputka. Thank you, sir, for joining us on the Roundtable Podcast.
Oh my goodness. I am trying to figure out how I can get you to do my eulogy. I do a lot of extreme sports. I want us to be very close in touch. I'm going to wear a heart monitor that's attached to your Skype line. So if I bleed out or something, I want you to parachute in and say good things about me.
I'm notified and the jets are scrambled. Let's get Robison there quick while the body's still warm.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This is terrific.
This is fabulous for us too. And Christoph, yep. Before we actually get into the 20 minutes, before I start the timer, I'm just going to have a Gurmi fanboy moment and say yours was one of the first podcasts that I tuned into. And Brian and I both did audio drama back in the early 2000s. And
it's true.
We'll talk about that maybe later. Who knows? We were always told from the get-go that having a narrator in your audio drama was cheating. It was bad form. It was weak sauce and clown shoes.
Really?
Yes, it's true.
And interesting.
Well, and the thing is that your podcast, Leviathan Chronicles, demonstrated emphatically and categorically that, dude, that is not the case. So...
You gotta have a cute British girl. That certainly, if there is an exception to the rule, that is the exception.
That is the key.
That's an excellent exception.
Indeed. In fact, friends, take that home with you. If you're going to have a narrator, make it a sexy British girl.
Mm-hmm. Honey, I need a narrator. See? and the rule is that she's a cute British girl.
So. There you go. Well, it works for the doctor. It might as well work for us too, right?
Right.
Yeah, more geek references. Awesome. Okay, I'm starting the timer right now. And let's get down to 20 minutes with Christoph Laputka. And very quickly, Christoph, does everybody say your name with a heavy Russian accent?
Not as eloquently as you. I like the rolling of the R's, but
it begs for it.
In fact, I can get.
Merle Lafferty says she uses your name as a curse word. Laputka! Oh, jeez. So, okay, no, that doesn't count.
Sneeze, yes.
That's not a real question. here's the real question. you recently, I don't know if it's recently, but you did an interview with the remarkable John Miro.
Fantastic guy.
Yes, awesome guy. And he remarked on a quality about you that I'd really like to explore a little more deeply. And this quality came out, I remember it distinctly, when listening to the Leviathan Chronicles, you just played the episode where they had the motorcycle chase scene. Mm-hmm. And friends, if you haven't tuned in, first of all, what the hell are you doing? Go download it now and listen. But second, then you know that at the end, Christoph often comes on and gives you updates on production and why this episode was so cool. And you were giddy like a schoolgirl, man. You were going, oh, crap, we just recorded a motorcycle chase scene. How awesome is that? And John Miro commented on the excitement and the delight that you have in what you do. And I wanted to ask you, where for you does that excitement come from? What is it about making something like the Leviathan Chronicles that makes you so passionate and so giddy?
Well, I think that the Leviathan Chronicles origin, kind of how we went about it, was with an incredibly healthy and staggering amount of ignorance. And we hadn't listened to a lot of audio dramas before. I was listening to some podcasts, and quite frankly, I didn't even know really what the term audio drama meant or how it, you know, really played into the internet or podcasting. And I wanted to be a writer. I was, you know, working on Wall Street at the time, but I, you know, was really captivated by some of these stories and the immediacy and the intimacy that these authors were able to establish with their audiences. And I thought, why isn't anybody putting music with us? Why are there no sound effects? These great stories, I can hear it, what should be happening. Why is nobody taking this next step? So the reason why I get excited about some of these episodes is because I'm wondering, what can we do? How good can we make something sound? How do I take something that's inherently very visual and make it explode in your eardrums? And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't work. There's a lot of stuff that you guys don't hear, and I've spoken about this in the past, that, you know, that never makes it onto the podcast. If we're trying to do some underwater stuff, like my whole podcast is set underwater. Underwater sound effects are really, really hard. They're so subtle. And we've all loved, like, Hunt for Red October and The Abyss, but if you listen to any of those movies, and we've done this, like, with your eyes closed or, like, with the, you know, with the stereo on and the TV monitor off, like, hard to know what's going on because you just hear, like, kind of a whoosh when the submarine goes by, and it's kind of hard. So when I started Leviathan, it was with the idea, how good can we make this sound? How good, if you've got all the time, all the money, all the actors, how good can you make something sound? And it was really an experiment for the first four episodes. And after we got done with that, my Robin Shore, who works at Silver Sound, and I looked at each other, we're like, this sounds really fucking good. We need to keep doing this. And what else can we do with this little bag of magic that we learned that we have? And that's, you know, when I get excited about things, it's because it's the first time I've ever heard that scene kind of come together. And we're not, you know, we don't really have a roadmap. So I think that's where some of the enthusiasm comes from.
So you don't have a an outline, you don't have a progression of where this thing's going?
We do. We have a pretty, especially for season two, we've got a pretty detailed outline. But I don't know necessarily how they're gonna sound. And for me, the writing process is I write Leviathan as a screenplay, not as a novel. So I'm thinking very, you know, cinematically. When I'm writing, although obviously I don't have a cinema, I've got earphones to play with. So there are times when I'm writing that I know that I'm writing for the ear, and I know, you know, at this point we've gotten pretty good about what's, you know, how to how to make things sound quick-paced, like putting the montages underneath narration. In our earlier episodes, we had some long stretches of narration I don't think were as effective. Now when we have those stretches, we make sure there's action underneath it, and you kind of have to do a little bit of back and forth between, like, the narrator, action, voices underneath, narrator, and just keep it going, bah, 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 and that keeps it, I think, the pace going a lot quicker.
Okay. Let me ask you, if it weren't for the advent of podcasting, if that oral media hadn't been available to you, would Leviathan Chronicles have ever come to pass?
Wow, no one's asked me that before. No. I was working on The Underwear Incident, which is written in novel format, before Leviathan, and I probably would not have started. If I didn't hear about Patio Books and Scott Sigler and Merle Lafferty and J.C. Hutchins, and I probably would not have done Leviathan. That's really interesting. I never thought of that.
Huh.
I might have tried to do, I mean, I wanted to get Underwear Incident in, like, in bookstores and go the traditional, you know, novelist route. But I probably wouldn't have done Leviathan, no.
Podcasting pretty much threw that out the window, huh?
It did. I haven't watched it in a while. And that's what's going to happen. We're in stage one right now. Stage two is going to be in 2013, where we hopefully get to start working on season three and The Underwear Incident at the same time. And The Underwear Incident is going to be a very different kind of podcast, where it's a comedy. And I want to, you know, it's going to sound very different than Leviathan. And I'm both excited and kind of intimidated by that. You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of fun.
Very cool.
I'd like to go back to what you were saying about writing this as a screenplay rather than a novel. And one of the issues as a creative writing teacher, especially with high school students, is getting them to understand the concept of different, you know, writing for different purposes. And something that I know a lot of people struggle with is the idea of crafting exposition and indirect characterization more through dialogue with minimal use of narration, without letting the dialogue come across as contrived or, you know, seem like an obvious vehicle for relaying information that's more geared toward the audience than the other characters. So how do you, if you're writing it more as a screenplay, then I know you're sort of gearing it in that direction, but how do you keep that delicate balance with using dialogue to get the information across, but without letting it sound like that's what you're doing?
Well, first of all, we cheat. Right, we have a narrator, right. So that does make it a little bit easier. But it's funny, I would rather break the illusion of of the fourth wall and give you a narrator, but make the dialogue sound more realistic. And I think that's just an artistic choice that you can make. One of the most important things for me is I want my dialogue to sound realistic, and that's sometimes a little bit harder in audio drama because you've got a lot of extra work to do. These characters need to explain the room they're in and what's going on and all these other things, which, you know, you and I wouldn't necessarily do if we just walked in a room and started talking. So the way that I personally dealt with it is, you know, I let the narrator do the heavy lifting, but I want, you know, my characters to, you know, to burp, to fart, to pick up things, to be humming to themselves. I want, you know, that's an important part of the atmosphere. I want them to do to say ums and ands and interrupt each other and have, you know, actually a much quicker pace in how we structure our dialogue. But yeah, I think you're right. You need to know what you're writing for. And there's, you know, in the beginning, I was writing Leviathan a little bit more like a novel, thinking, oh, maybe I'm going to, you know, spin it into, you know, an ebook or something like that. And that's not, you know, that may happen in the future, but that's not my priority right now. It's, I want to make sure this sounds great for the ear. I want to make sure that I'm taking you to some remote island, some amazing place, some really exciting scene, and it's visceral. That's my mission right in front of the keyboard.
Okay. And do you think that if you did decide to turn this into an ebook, that there would be a massive revision? Do you think that you would put in a lot more narration and the two would look different?
I'd be intimidated by the amount of the workload that it would take to do it, and because I think you're absolutely right. I think it would, be very different. I'd probably be more economical with my dialogue and more expansive in my narration. I think I haven't had to think about it for a little while, but I definitely know that it would require a fair bit of work. And some of the scenes, like, you know, just don't play. I mean, like the motorcycle chase scene, you know, it was great because we actually went back to our original band, ATW. That it's a great rock band that designed our theme, and we've been using a lot of composers to all of Leviathan has original music in it, and or 95% of it. And I said, look, this is going to be a great scene. I need a rock opera for this. I need like somebody really to focus on this and go hard rock with it. And and I think that makes it a great scene. If I'm writing a motorcycle chase scene, I don't think it would have had the same effect. I would structure it differently.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've got so many tools, so many, you know, arrows in your quiver between music, between effects, between, you know, dialogue, between narration that you can do to make some of these scenes come alive. When you're writing, you only have the words on the paper. So you do structure it differently.
We'll be back with more of our conversation with Christoph Laputka after this promotional break.
Cliffy was born the son of a doxy and a junkie. In a neo-Victorian world, he was the lowest of the low, with no hope of bettering his position. But one day, he witnessed a murder and was offered a unique form of blackmail. In exchange for his silence, he is enrolled in the Malcolm Rutherford Holden Institute of Regentrification. There, in the Hidden Institute, he learns how to walk, talk, and act like nobility, so that he can sneak into the ranks of the gentry. But in this world, that kind of fraud carries a death penalty. Royal intrigue, daring escapes, assassins, subdermal machines, and bear polo. The Hidden Institute by Brand Gamblin is a new story available at podiobooks.com. A grand adventure in a not-so-distant world.
Now, let's get back to the conversation with Christoph Laputka. And you invoked the terms pacing and tempo, and we've actually discussed this topic with other authors that we've had on the show. And in your particular case, since you really are writing more for we might as well call it a screenplay. I mean, Brian and I have been there with you,
and that's
the mentality, that's the mental approach you take it with. What, and I know this is going to be hard to describe, but how do you know when a scene is slowing down? And I ask this because, you know, obviously writers have a different aesthetic, but even writers of contemporary novels and texts have to deal with pacing and tempo within their stories. And it seems like a very difficult thing to nail down as to when is a scene flagging? When do I need to pick it up? How do I pick it up? And I was wondering if you could speak to that a little bit in terms of your writing experiences. How do you know when a scene is going, oh, we gotta pick up the pace or cut this out or whatever?
When I finish writing a chapter or an episode, you know, the first thing I do is read it out loud. And in fact, part of our production process is at least for season two right now is once I finish writing an episode, not only do I read it out loud to myself, but I actually record all the voices and all the parts into the microphone with the exception of the narration. And that gets sent to Silver Sound Studios. And that's what we call our skeleton draft. So we have the narrator and me doing the woman's voice, the guy's voice. And it's terrible.
How can we lay our hands on some of those copies?
Right.
For that 10-foot pole. It's terrible. What that does is, you know, because we have a large cast, you know, it lets the engineers start putting in the sound effects and working on the music while we're still running around trying to get the 10 to 15 actors that we have in each episode. So we're using this to kind of speed up season two so it doesn't take as long as season one took. But going back to the original question, I can, you know, you can definitely hear it when you read it out loud to yourself when something is dragging on a little bit. And at this point I can actually see it visually. Like if I have a narration that goes on beyond, you know, or really any dialogue that goes on for more than half a page, I've gone too long. I need to either have a lot of effects underneath it, or I need to break it up with something else. And wow. I can just literally just see it. But usually when I read it out loud, it also comes out.
Now, do you have a font format and a layout page so that all of the, so that you can gauge like a page of dialogue equals this much time on the audio track?
the guys at Silver Sound would love me to answer this with more precision, because it's pretty mixed right now. Generally, a page of dialogue is about 90 seconds. If it's a long stretch of narration, it'll go longer. If it's just a fight scene, then it, you know, might go a lot quicker. I started working a little bit in Final Draft. I went back to Word, there's no special font, but that's, you know, generally what it comes out to. So if I'm writing the average episode comes out to about 30 pages, and it's usually they run about 45 minutes. So that's about the right ratio.
Okay.
Now, do you write specifically, like sit down and write an episode, or do you write for an extended amount of time and then cut later?
No, I write for an episode. Because I want to make sure that I bring you in with a bang. I usually leave with either a cliffhanger or some form of resolution. So I kind of know where everything needs to start and end. And, you know, for that reason, each episode ends up being a little bit more self-contained.
Did you start off that way?
Generally, I did. There's a couple episodes that actually got broken up, like in the early ones, like two and three were originally one episode, and we broke them up apart. We tried to get as smart as we could, as quick as we could, when we realized how much time it was taking. But we always viewed it more like a TV show than we were writing a novel that we were trying to somehow illustrate or make come alive through audio drama.
Okay.
Along the same lines, if you're writing one episode at a time, do you keep in mind a structure in terms of, like you were saying, you know, start off with a bang and then you have sort of an idea of how you want to structure that episode? And there are times where you have to have, you know, some intimate scenes and some, you know, explanation between two very high, you know, ranking people, whatever. But, do you find that sometimes you have an episode that just seems like you've followed the formula too closely and you have to break it up and change it up from time to time?
I feel like sometimes we've done certain tricks before and I want to keep it fresh. So like a lot of plot devices are, in a lot of our episodes, we're an espionage themed podcast. So there's a lot of breaking in and, you know, sudden explosion of violence and like sneaking into the secret building, stealing the data files, sneaking out again while everything's going wrong. Like we've done that several times now. So when I'm writing scenes, I'm like, okay, I know what this is going to sound like. It feels a little repetitive. I got to come up with something new. So I think I'm pretty good at being able to catch that. And I guess one of the other ways that I can double check myself is when we're in post-production. If it's going too quickly, it means they're borrowing effects from stuff we've already done, which means we've already done it many times. So it's, I catch that a lot, and it frustrates me where I find myself writing something. I'm like, dude, you've done this before. Like, you know, this is the same movie. This is the same sort of dialogue people have had. Like, come on, we got to keep it fresh. So, you know, I do try and slap myself around the room a little bit to fight that, because I think that can happen very easily.
Okay. Do you direct these episodes also, Christoph?
Depends what you mean by direct. Nobi Nakanishi is the director of Leviathan, and he's responsible for all of the actors' performances. And, I am kind of the executive producer when it comes to post-production. Nobi doesn't sit in the post-production meeting. So I'm sitting with Robin, and I'm saying, no, you know, her voice needs to come sooner. It's a wrong gun effect. Explosion needs to be bigger. The music's wrong here. So we're having, that is kind of like he and I, like, literally sitting, you know, cheek to cheek going over the sound files.
Okay.
I'm sort of directing that process, but I'm not directing the actors. I rely on Nobi for that. And he's had much more of a background in the arts than I have. And working with actors is a different skill set. And quite frankly, he has it a lot more than I do. And we direct very differently. Originally we were splitting up the workload, and he is more classical in that. Okay. You know, Dave, you're in a room right now and your mother has just died and you're overcome with emotion. But then, you know, you open up this letter and you know, I'm like, okay, say it faster, say it slower. now do it like this. And to me, it's all technical. And I just, you know, I don't care about your motivation, I'll tell you exactly like you know, how to do it. And right. he keeps beating me up, saying, "Christoph, you can't do this. They're not a monkey in a cage." And I'm like,
Have you seen My Week with Marilyn yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
It talks about the first movie that Laurence Olivier and Marilyn Monroe made together. Mm-hmm. And Laurence Olivier is you. You're Laurence Olivier. He's all about make it faster, make it slower, bam, bam, bam. And Marilyn's going, wait, I have to get into character. And so I'm just going, oh my God, this is an echo in my life.
Totally.
That's awesome. Now, let me ask you this. One thing that just occurred to me as you guys were talking was, you know, with writers writing characters, many times those characters take on a life in your own mind. And they can take you, if you let them, they take you places where you hadn't planned on going.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. In the audio environment, you're actually kind of in a unique scenario. Have you ever encountered an actor's performance of a line that you wrote that spurred or drove the show into a different direction?
With some actors, yes, and other actors, no. You know, now the narration, which is kind of like the spine, I think, of Leviathan. Like I hear Samantha's voice in my head now when I'm typing. I can hear her accent. By the way, it's a great accent to have in your head. Okay. But with some of the actors, you know, it changes. There's I'm not going to say which ones, but there are a couple actors that like I wasn't, you know, nobody felt really strongly about, and I was like, God, this isn't the guy that I had in my head. But then, you know, the guy, you know, well, I've given away. It's a male actor who like started getting into this rhythm and it changed the way I viewed the character and only for the better. I mean, it's a really magical process when you're doing audio drama because you write it and I think I know the story and then these actors come in and they add their slant to it and it becomes something different. And then when Silver Sound gets through it and music goes into it, the story evolves yet again. And it's a little bit like, you know, being a kid on Christmas when I get to hear the first draft of some of these episodes because I'm so excited to hear how my story is going to come alive. But the actors do influence me now. And you know, certain you start to learn what certain actors do well and what they don't do well. And it affects my writing. I've changed little bits of the story to accommodate what I think the actors' strengths and weaknesses are.
Very cool. One last quick question. Your 25 episodes so far on Leviathan Chronicles, you've obviously learned volumes about writing, about audio drama, about script writing. In terms of your craft, in terms of your writing style, what are you working on now? What are you trying to refine or improve in your writing skill, and how are you going about doing that?
Right now, I am actively scripting some special edition episodes that are going to be season 2 is mostly written. There's still one or two episodes that need to get filled in a little bit more. So I'm working on parts of season 2 and special edition episodes. And what I'm trying to do is make sure that I'm fighting against cliches, which come up in action scenes a lot. I want to make sure that the narration doesn't overwhelm certain scenes that get very descriptive. And I want the action to be quicker paced. So and that, I guess that's more of a post-production thing than a writing thing. But I want to, you know, I want to make sure that all my characters are seen multidimensionally. That there's a villain that you're going to see a lot of in one of the special edition episodes, and you see that they have some reservations about being a villain, and that's, you know, something that's important to kind of make them a complete person, because you're right, they live in you, and you think about them. When I'm in the shower, when I'm lying in bed, I'm thinking about what is my character doing right now? What are they, you know, how are they going to get out of this mess? You know, what are they thinking? And you know, that
must be fun to have dinner with. Holy crap.
No, I usually get through a lot of wine and that's okay. but that's really what I'm working on right now. I mean, I know we did some things well in season 1. There's some things that I don't think we did well, and I just want to make sure that, you know, I feel like season 2 is more representative of what we're of our ability than season 1 is. And I'm sure that's true of every author. Like you're only as good as your last book, and you know, I think, you know, we're actually redoing parts of season 1. The plan is to release season 2 I'll real quickly just say it. We're releasing season two probably towards the end of this year, beginning of next year. And when that happens, we're going to podcast it for free. But if people want to, they can buy the entire season at once and also get 5 hours of additional content. At the same time, we're also going to be releasing a director's cut of season one. So we're trying to go back and correct some of the more egregious mistakes that we think we made, either in terms of casting, in terms of music, in terms of effects we could have edited better. And that's going to be available as well. So people that want to kind of listen to the all 50 episodes, you know, back to back, they're going to have that chance.
No
so,
waiting.
So that's what we're working on.
Outstanding. Awesome. Outstanding. Yeah. Well, gentlemen, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings, but the clock has ticked down and gone and actually left the room and slammed the door. So
it's a very temperamental clock.
It is a very temperamental clock, and it gets bored quick. But I guarantee you our listeners haven't gotten bored. This has been freaking fabulous. Christoph, thank you so much for taking time out of what is obviously a busy schedule and sharing your thoughts and your insights with us. We really appreciate it, man.
Dave and Brian, this has been absolutely terrific. Love to come back. You guys are great.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian, yes. Last words, closing comments, observations?
No, I do want to say that if anybody hasn't listened to this, just listening for the sound effects alone
yes,
are fabulous, but it's extraordinarily well written and definitely worth your time. So go pick it up. And Christoph, thank you so much for coming on.
Absolutely, guys.
And I'll throw in my two bits. One thing that we've heard over and over and over again during these interviews is the benefit of reading your work out loud. And it's really kind of driven home in hearing you, Christoph, that not only read your work out loud, but hell, maybe get somebody to read the parts for you and explore new depths and new dimensions, even if it is just a written work intended purely for novel reading. That could be a really cool exercise in terms of exploring new dimensions and qualities of your characters.
Yeah, absolutely. And just seeing how other people are seeing your characters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds like it's got a different voice. Yeah.
Fascinating stuff. Dear friends, thank you so much for tuning in. As always, we deeply appreciate you hitting the play button and letting us fill your head with our particular brand of madness. if you're having a good time, that's kind of why we're here. Feel free to swing out to the iTunes store. I keep asking that, and you guys keep doing it. And we really appreciate it. Leave us a review or just hit a star rating, whatever you think we're worth. We'll take it. If you have comments or questions, you can go ahead and leave a comment in the post and or send us an email at thetable@roundtablepodcast.com. Regardless, thank you so much for tuning in. Stay tuned in a couple of days. We'll have Christoph back. We'll workshop a very, very cool Roman iron punk story. Yeah.
Sweet.
You're already hooked. You want to be here, but you got to wait. Ha! Wait for a couple days. We'll come back. We'll do that workshop. In the meantime, Brian, any suggestions on what they might be doing?
Go right.
Yeah, baby. Go right. Go right. Go looking for awesome stuff, and you will find it. See you in a couple of days, guys. Until then, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This episode is copyrighted 2012 by the Roundtable Podcast and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. That means don't sell it, but you can share it all you like. And you can even use pieces of it in your own derivative work, as long as you attribute us as the source and release the work under the same licensing terms. Theme music composed and performed by the talented Hepcats of Brotown, Gary Gold, David LaBruyere, Billy Nobel, and Matt O'Donnell. If you'd like to be a guest writer or guest host, or learn more about the Roundtable Podcast, please visit our website at www.roundtablepodcast.com or visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/roundtablepodcast. Our Twitter tag is @writerspodcast, or just send us an email at thetable@roundtablepodcast.com. Thanks for listening.